You're listening to an LA Kings podcast. For more episodes of this and every other Kings program, visit lakings.com/podcast.
You're listening to All the Kings Men, the official podcast of the LA Kings. Now, here's your host, Jesse Cohen.
Welcome back, Kings fans. I am Jesse Cohen. This is All the Kings Men, presented by Manscaped, an official partner of the LA Kings. Thanks to this revolutionary company, manscaping accidents are a thing of the past. Just get yourself the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Inside, you'll find products like their Lawnmower 3.0, which is advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer won't cut you. Everything you need to keep trimmed and smelling nice is in the Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code KINGSMEN at manscaped.com. That's manscaped.com and use the code KINGSMEN. The NHL Draft Lottery is Friday, but today, Kings fans, today we're looking back before we look forward. Nick Nixon and Darrell Evans never got a chance to wrap up the season as a result of the abrupt postponement due to COVID-19, so we're bringing you that conversation now. Don't forget, All the Kings Men Live is on Thursday for a preview of the NHL Draft Lottery, and then immediately following the Draft Lottery on Friday, I'll be coming back live with you guys to read the results, answer some questions, and hopefully celebrating. But until then, here's Nick and Darrell.
Well, hi again, everybody, and hello, Kings fans. Nick Nixon here, joined by my partner on the broadcast for the last 20 years, Darrell Evans. And for the next 55 minutes or so, we're going to recap the Kings 2019-2020 season. Of course, the season was abbreviated with the virus going around and everybody still dealing with it, and we hope that everybody is staying healthy. Kings did get in 70 of the 82 games, and before we break things down into different categories, just a refresher, the Kings' record was 29-35-6. They finished six games under 500, and of course, they ended on a high note. They won their last seven games before the season was postponed. 28th overall in the 31-team league, San Jose, Ottawa, and Detroit finishing behind the Kings. Offensively, the Kings, again, had trouble generating goals. 30th in the league, 2.53 per game. Defensively, middle of the pack, 2.99. Power play, 26th, and the penalty killing was tied for 23rd. Some of the topics we'll touch on here, we'll talk about the coaching change. This was the first season for Todd McLellan. Talk about the impact he had in his first year. We'll also talk about some of the better performers for the Kings this past season. We'll mention the award winners that were named in June, MVP, Best Newcomer, Best Defenseman, etc. We'll break down the Kings' lineup individually, kind of rate how the players did and where maybe they can look for improvement moving forward. And we'll wrap it up by taking a look at some of the prospects, talking about some of the prospects the Kings have. We saw quite a few of them towards the end of last season. A couple of players in particular, Gabe Vilardi and Mikey Anderson. So we'll get into some of the prospects as well. I want to welcome in Darrell Evans right now, a partner of mine on the radio broadcast, of course, now for the past 20 years. Boy, time flies, Reginald, doesn't it?
It sure does, Nick. And, you know, it's great to be talking to you again and, you know, putting a wrap to this, you know, this past season, you know, a compressed season, but we never had a chance to officially kind of close things out. So it's going to be great to be able to recap and, you know, kind of talk about the things, because I think, you know, at the end of the day, even though the Kings didn't make it to the playoffs or anything like that, I think there are a lot of positives to build on and definitely a clear direction as to where the Kings are moving going into next season.
Yeah, and let's talk about that clear direction by kind of segging into the fact that this was Todd McLellan's first season behind the Kings bench, first year of a five-year deal, so really he's not going anywhere. From your perspective, Darrell, I know on a game-to-game basis and a practices, you and a number of us in the media get a chance to pick Todd's brain on a daily basis. The impact you feel he had on the Kings team this season?
Well, I think it was a very positive one, Nick. I think when you go right back to the beginning, I think the Kings were a team that were, you know, in a transition. They were going to approach this season in a lot of different ways, and there were a lot of unknowns. First of all, you bring in a new coach. They know they wanted to become more aggressive offensively and yet still maintain a strong defensive structure of play. They knew that some of the personnel as they were starting the season with weren't going to be there towards the end of the year. So they're not only going to change the style the way they played, but they were also going to have to bring in some new players, some younger players, and add some speed. So I think Todd managed that well. I think when you look at the beginning of the season, some of the things that they really emphasized going back to training camp was to be a little bit more energetic and, you know, find a way to create offense. Well, there was no doubt in the first couple of games we saw the puck going in the net, but it was going in both ends. So the Kings, I think, exposed themselves a little bit defensively when they were going after the chances offensively. So I think there was a period of time there that the Kings were kind of caught in between. And it probably was really frustrating for a lot of people, including ourselves, to watch, because you knew what was trying to, you know, go on behind the scenes, the what they were trying to get to. And I think as the season went on, and especially towards the end, I think there was a clear turnaround in the direction that the Kings were going. Be it the end statistic, they didn't score a lot more goals, but I think this was a year that we saw them create more chances off the rush. And that was something that they hadn't done in the past. They possessed the puck in a different way. Before, it was a dump and chase and then go battle for it in the corners. We now saw them carrying the puck through the neutral zone, gaining entry into the offensive zone. A lot of that had to do with different players, different personnel that they had with that kind of ability. So Todd, I think, had to learn a lot about these individuals, even though he's coached against a number of them for a while. You still don't know the players when you see them every day practicing, you know, their personalities, you know, the buttons that you can push to get more out of them. And I think it took a period of time for him to be able to learn that. And I also think the players, you know, they took their time in being able to adjust to Todd. So I think the two, it was a little bit of give and take from both sides. But I think the product that we saw towards the end of the year was something with promise towards it. I think everybody's got a good understanding as the way that they're expected to play. And I think they're starting to define their roles as to what they're going to be and what type of player and how they can contribute as this team moves forward. So thumbs up to McClellan. I thought he did an outstanding job. Didn't show any signs of frustration, especially with guys like ourselves in the media. And that would have been very easy to sit there and, you know, get frustrated with this group. But he knows he's in for the long haul. And he also knows he's got a good group to work with. The veterans, I think they've got a lot still to offer. And I think some of them showed that this year. So if you get the young guys to continue to keep chipping in, you know, have a little bit more of an impact, playing some more of the prominent roles, I think this is a team that you're going to be very pleased to be watching, and they're going to be a tougher team to play against in the next couple of years.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned it, Darryl. Todd is in it for the long haul with that long contract that he signed in April of 2019. How important was that decision, do you feel, from Rob Blake? Kind of sends a message to the players, sent the message to the players, didn't it?
It really did. You know, I think, you know, when you look at the Kings, they had a number of veteran players and guys that are going to be around with, you know, with long contracts, you know, the likes of Kopitar, Brown, Doughty, Carter. You know, these guys have been around for a long time, Jonathan Quick. And, you know, if you bring a coach in for, let's say, a year or two, I think there's a little bit of an uneasy feeling there. And I think the Kings needed to know as a team who they were going to have, the voice that they were going to listen to, and that it wasn't going to change overnight again. So I think they all bought into that. And, you know, again, Todd's a good communicator. I think we've learned that from, you know, from the interaction that we've had with him. So I can only imagine how he is in the locker room with the guys. And I think the guys really appreciate his honesty and his approach to how he's going to get to that destination and how he wants them all to be part of it. So, you know, I thought that was real clear this year. It took a little bit of time. I know there were some frustrating times at the beginning of the year. You look at the special teams, and even though the numbers at the end of the year weren't the ones that you were looking for, you know, at the last part, you go back to, you know, in late December there, the Kings power play and the Kings penalty kill in the last, the end of January, they were in the top five in the league. So a significant change around there. We saw guys like Adrian Kempe have an important role there. He became the guy carrying the puck into the zone, utilizing his speed on the entry. And that was an area that the Kings have had a great deal of difficulty for the last couple of years. So I think there was clearer job description for a lot of guys. And I still think there's a few that are in that unknown area that, Todd will try to, learn a little bit more about and how they can contribute. And with what, Rob Blake and the scouts have done, with all the draft choices, there's going to be a lot of competition now for those jobs. The shells are stocked pretty good with some talent. Now it's just a matter of picking which ones are going to be the ones that are going to be able to stick it out and the ones that are going to succeed. But the Kings have a lot of options as they move forward and approach the training camp, whenever it may be here towards the end of the year.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's break it down. Let's break down this past season. The Kings, 52nd in the NHL. Let's start with the award winners, players that were recognized by the media and their teammates for their performances. And Daryl, really no surprise to anybody, the most valuable player once again, the leading scorer once again for the Kings, Anze Kopitar. He was also named by his teammates as the most inspirational on the team.
To Doughty in the middle, to Kopitar on the right wing, to the right circle. Back up high to Doughty, doesn't shoot. Fed it left side, Kempe to the left circle. In the middle to Iafallo, he's checked. Puck to Kopitar, shoots and scores! Kind of a broken play, but the Kings will take it. The pass in the middle to Iafallo. Three Oilers sticks were trying to prevent Iafallo from shooting. They did, but the puck winds up at the right circle and Kopitar puts it in under the crossbar. The Kings are on the board. Anze Kopitar has scored with 1:21 left in the second period. The Oilers' lead is now 3-1.
Anze is Anze, isn't he? He just goes out there, seems like he never plays a bad game. He's always effective, even though he might not be scoring. He's just been a treat to watch game after game, year after year. But Anze Kopitar, again, the MVP for this past season.
Yeah, you talk about consistency, and, he made that well known when he first came into the league. We got a good chance to see some of the talent that he had, his ability to be able to hang on to the puck. We all know that he's a big, powerful type of guy. And even with the adjustment of the NHL, he's still been able to manage the speed with his high hockey IQ and his hockey sense and playing off the guys that he's on the ice with. He continues to remain a point-of-game guy. You can play him in every critical situation, power play, penalty kill. You're up a goal, you're down a goal, over 55% in the face-off circle. So he's really rounded his game out nicely. I think as the Kings move forward, they've got to look to take a little bit off his plate. This year, I think he really showed how his value is to the team in, helping the development of so many young guys and also trying to bridge everybody together with a new coach. Not only is he a veteran player, he's a captain of your hockey club. He's been the leading scorer of your hockey club. So he had a lot on his plate, and I think he managed it quite well. And I would expect him now, within a little bit of an extended break here, to come in with recharged batteries and with a little bit more support through the lineup that, he's still got a lot left in the tank, and he knows well how to preserve himself, what he's got to do. And he continually uses his mind, his hockey sense. I know his dad does a great job at, giving him reports as to what he sees from a coaching type of perspective. And Anze feeds off of that. So he's been a real delight, and he's definitely been one of those guys you could tag as a franchise player.
Anze leading the team, 62 points, a team high 21 goals, 41 assists. So that's now 12 times in his 14 years in the NHL, all with the Kings, of course, that he has been the Kings' leading scorer. And I did a little bit of the math before we started this program. Six times in his career, he has been the leading scorer for the Kings by at least 15 points. So, just remarkable. And like I said earlier, Daryl, I hope the fans are not taking for granted. It's easy to do when you see a player night after night and he's on your team, but I hope we don't get to the point where we take this guy for granted, because he is such a complete hockey player. And we've talked about this time and time again over the years, you and I on the air. He is really sacrificing some of his offense that he could be generating to be a complete player. And that's what I think so many of us that watch the Kings night after night really admire about his game.
Yeah, and that's what great players have to do. They have to sacrifice the personal statistics in order to achieve the ultimate goal, and that's a championship. And the Kings would never have won the championships without Kopitar up the middle. You still look at the age that he's at right now, the amount of games, the amount of playoff games, the role that he's played on the team, and he's still logging over 21 minutes a night. So that just goes to show you how committed he is to knowing what his value is to this team. Very easy for him to mail it in, and, you know, a season where you're having a lot of difficulties and nothing's going right for you. But he's one of the guys, he's one of those glue guys that keeps everybody together, leads by example on the ice. His voice is getting louder in the locker room as well. And, you know, he utilizes the veteran players to be able to help bridge those gaps with some of the younger guys in the communication standpoint. And I think that's another thing that, you know, a lot of fans will take for granted is the relationship that he has with both the younger, the older players, and also the coaching staff. And, you know, that probably includes the strength and conditioning coaches as well, the medical staff. He's a guy that's there communicating for his teammates at all times. And he's got to be the one taking the brunt from, you know, guys like Rob Blake or Luke Robitaille when things aren't going well. And there's been a lot of not going well for the last couple of years. So he's had a lot to deal with. But the ultimate, consummate professional, Anze Kopitar, doesn't let it affect him. He puts the skates on, he gets on the ice, and you know exactly what you're going to see each and every night that he's out there.
Anze Kopitar leading the Kings in scoring once again this past season, 21 goals, 62 points. And you were talking about the ice time earlier, trying to cut him back in different areas. He led all forwards in ice time at even strength, power play, and shorthanded. So at the age of 33, he'll be 33 this summer as he looks forward towards his 15th NHL season. So congrats to Anze Kopitar, voted MVP by the media, and most inspirational by his teammates. And now, Daryl, to continue along the award winners, this might surprise some people. Best newcomer, best defenseman, best defensive player, and the unsung hero, as voted by his teammates, the same individual, Matt Roy, who completed his first full NHL season.
Blocked by Beauvillier's stick, controlled by Mayfield, stripped by Lozado, feeds Roy a blast. He scores! Another dogged effort by Blake Lizotte. He's had a number of those here tonight. Forces the turnover, feeds Matt Roy in the high slot, and Roy beat Varlamov on the stick side, and the Kings have their third unanswered goal here in the game, and they now lead 3-1.
Good for Matt. Boy, quite an impact. And this is a player that maybe a couple of years ago, not very many people in the organization had on their radar as being an NHL player this soon.
No doubt about that. And, you know, I think he's a great example of a player taking advantage of a situation that gets put in front of him. You know, going even back to a couple of years ago, you could see that transition slowly starting to happen with the Kings. And you knew some changes were going to be made. They were looking for, you know, some personnel to step up and be able to take some ice time. And not only was he able to take some ice time, he did it in a very quiet fashion. And that was one of the things that we heard consistently out of Todd and even his teammates, that, you know, he's very quiet, goes about his work. You can always trust him, very reliable, great in the defensive zone, not a high risk type of guy. You know what to expect from him all the time. And, you know, you look at his plus minus on a team that struggled scoring goals. He ends up with a plus 16 on the season. Those are great numbers for a young defender still learning the league. And he got put out there in a lot of different situations against a lot of tough players on the opposing teams, and he dealt with it well. So hopefully that he'll be able to take his game, you know, to that next level with the experience that he gained this year, the amount of ice that he played, the guys that he played against, that'll only make him a better player moving forward. But he's a guy that's not going to change his game at all. He's going to be steady. He's going to be consistent. You know, he kind of in a sneaky way can contribute some offense because of the reads that he has in the offensive zone. But in the defensive zone is probably where he's at his best, moving the puck out, getting it to the forwards, getting it to them in a position where they don't have to pick it out of their skates or get hit at the blue lines in order to chip it out. He's looking to give it to them to maintain possession, get the puck up the ice, and then eventually jump up there and join the attack. So I think we could probably see a little bit more offensively come from him. But again, where the Kings have gained that real value for him is the trust that they have on the back end and his ability to be able to play with whoever he's on the ice with against whoever he's on the ice with.
Yeah, and Matt is a right shot. Drew Doughty, who annually is the Kings' ice time leader, a right shot. And Sean Walker, who has come into his own, a right shot. And they all played the right side pretty much exclusively this past season. So that kind of bodes well for the Kings moving forward. Now the issue is how they fill in the gaps on the left side. But, you know, getting back to Matt, Darryl, did you see the improvement in his play that gives you the confidence that maybe he can be a top four defenseman, which means he'll be out there against real good players night after night, shift after shift?
Yeah, I think he's put himself in a position for sure where he deserves that opportunity to be, you know, elevated in ice time and elevated against the guys that he plays against. And that'll be something that Todd will probably use in his favor on home ice, you know, to be able to test the waters a little bit as to who he wants to play him against. Again, just to get that trust. And I think probably when you look back in the early part for Matt, he was probably, you know, his own worst enemy, you know, not having that confidence. You know, he's kind of a little bit jittery and afraid to make mistakes. Where when Todd came in, Todd encouraged everybody, including Matt, don't be afraid of making mistakes. It's when you're not trying things or not trying to execute the things that we put in place. That's when you're going to get in trouble. And I think there was a little bit of a period there where Matt was kind of like, he was kind of caught standing still for a split second. But once he started to go off his instincts, I think that's when we saw his game go to the next level. And now that he has that confidence underneath him and the trust from the coaching staff and now with the players. And again, when you look at the awards that he receives here at the end of the year, that's going to only boost his confidence that much more. So I look for him to bouncing back with a real, real solid year when they start back up again.
Matt Roy, best newcomer as voted by the media, best defensive player, best defenseman. And Darryl, we'll kind of jump ahead here a bit. We'll talk about this particular young forward in total later on in the show. But another newcomer that really had an impact, Matt Roy, a defenseman, was Blake Lizotte. I just want to get your take. I mean, Blake, really, the way he played kind of epitomized what the Kings are looking for in their new young players, and that's to be faster and quicker.
Yeah, and I think because of his size, and he, you know, he's battled that his entire career, that he always feels that he's got to prove himself. We had a chance to meet his family when we were in Minnesota, and you know, it was so great being able to talk to them, and you know, just the pride that they showed in coming on the air there on the TV broadcast and talking about Blake. But one thing that we saw from Blake right from the first day until the, you know, to the end of the season, his game never changed at all. He came in with the same work ethic. You know, did he get tested a few times through the course of the year where he become maybe a little bit fatigued, a little beat up physically and mentally? Yeah, probably, but a lot of guys go through that. But the way he was able to manage his way through the season and play at the level that he did was pretty remarkable. I think what we saw from him as well was, again, you talk about gaining trust from your, you know, your teammates and your coaching staff. He started to get some penalty kill time. And, you know, when you look at a guy like that with the energy that he has, the pressure that he puts on the opponents on the power play, that's something that the Kings are looking for. I know we'll probably talk about a little bit later. It'll be guys like Wagner as well. So if they can get that up ice pressure from guys like Lizotte, putting pressure on the, you know, the opposing team's defense before they come out of the zone, they're going to be tough. And then when they do force the turnovers, the Kings are going to be in a position now in the transition where they can jump on the, on those opportunities and take the puck to the net. But he's exactly what the Kings are looking for. The new, that, you know, that new NHL player, not as big, but you know, big heart. He's got quickness in his game. He's got compete that, you know, it never ends regardless of the size of the opponent. We saw him get hit so many times so hard that we thought he was never going to get up again. And yet he was right back in there, you know, stripping the puck off that same guy that was going off the ice. So he's a great inspiration for his teammates. And I think he's going to be a guy that when all these, a lot of these young kids come in, the 18, 19 and 20 year olds in the next couple of years in the draft, they see what he's able to accomplish as basically, you know, he worked his way into a position. He was not written on paper to come in there and, you know, be on that starting lineup. He earned that. And if his work ethic can rub off on any of the young guys, the Kings are going to have themselves a team that's going to be a bunch of little buzzsaws out there, and they're going to put a lot of pressure on the other team. They're going to spend a lot of time in the offensive zone, and that'll help them contribute in transition into becoming more offensive and be more of an attack team.
That's the voice of Darrell Evans. I'm Nick Nixon, and you're listening to a review of the 2019-2020 Kings season. Again, a season where the Kings only got in 70 games, finished 28th overall with a record of 29-35-6. Anže Kopitar, we mentioned, led the Kings in scoring 62 points. And then Alex Iafallo, second with 43. Alex completed his third NHL season. His numbers have gone up in all three seasons. Alex with 17 goals and 26 assists. Dustin Brown, 17 goals, 35 points. Drew Doughty, 35 points. Tyler Toffoli, 18 goals, 34 points. Adrian Kempe, a strong second half, finished with 11 goals and 32 points. Now, let's kind of focus in, Darrell, on some of the individuals, review the type of seasons they had. We've talked about Kopitar. The season coming up for him will be his 15th as a King. Dustin Brown.
Hutton, the shot, he scores. Nice setup to Ben Hutton at the left circle. He took the shot. It may have been deflected after it hit the goaltender by Dustin Brown. We'll have to wait and see. The backhander, score! Dustin Brown. Kopitar now to Brown, right circle, empty net shot, and he scores. Hat-trick goal for Dustin Brown.
He'll be 36 in November, senior member of the Kings. It will be his 17th NHL season. We talked about Kopitar, and we hope we don't take him for granted. Fans don't take his play, his overall play, for granted. Dustin Brown, pretty remarkable that, again, we mentioned his age. He played last year at age 35. Still physical, not as physical as he was when he was younger, obviously, but still brings a lot to the table. I think it was a real solid season for Dustin. How about you?
I would agree with that. When you look at his year, and I credit to the way he's approached the game in the offseason, it goes back probably at least a handful of years or so ago, you know, as he started to get up there in age. But the last couple of years with the league changing as much and him, you know, reaching that age where everybody kind of thinks, you know, that you haven't got anything left in the tank, he continues to prove to everybody that he can play. And you look at him this year, 17 goals, 16 of the 17 goals come at even strength. Earlier on in his career, he was the net front guy that was getting, you know, a number of goals each year on a power play. Well, he's not getting as much power play time now as he did before, but as the Kings transition and try to add depth to their lineup, there's definitely a slot for him. The longevity in his career, the physicality that he plays with, and we still see it from time to time. You go into a big game and all of a sudden Dustin Brown comes up with one of those, custom Dustin Brown hits where he sends one of the players on the other team about 15 feet back and not only draws the attention of, you know, the opposing team, he gets the attention of his own players as well. So he's still got that in his game. I think he's matured a lot. I think he's learned a lot. I know he really enjoys playing for Todd in talking to him each and every day after practice. He likes the approach towards the game. You know, I think that, you know, when you play a prominent role as Dustin has throughout his career, you know, sometimes when a little bit of that ice gets pulled back a little bit, you feel that, you know, maybe you're kind of getting pushed aside. But I think because of his maturity in that, Dustin understands that he's got a very important role on this team and he continues to keep contributing. So I was really happy with the way that he performed this year. I think the consistency was there. He still remains a threat, you know, and he's even added to, you know, being able to score off the attack, something that the Kings have been lacking for a number of years. So he'll continue to keep working this offseason on all the elements of his game to allow him to be able to compete against these younger players that maybe have a step on him. But again, it's the mind and the experience. Those are things that you can't replace. And Dustin Brown, no other player in franchise history has played more games than Dustin Brown. And he'll show that again as the team regroups. They'll look for his leadership. I know he's a big supporter of Anže Kopitar and what he provides in that locker room and on the ice. So, thumbs up for him. I think he's still got some in the tank, and I think he can be part of a Kings team here that'll compete within the next couple of years.
Dustin Brown joining Andre Kopitar as the 30-something group on the Kings roster. A couple of other players, Daryl, that are in that age category. Jeff Carter, 35 years of age. Trevor Lewis, who has spent his entire career in the Kings organization. We'll see if Trevor returns, unrestricted free agent, as we do this show. Your take on Jeff Carter, 60 games, 27 points. Those are not Carter-like numbers. He was a minus 21, which was a team worst, and of course had surgery in June for a core muscle problem. Do you think that Jeff still has enough left in the tank to be a major contributor, or is he going to be maybe one of those second-tier guys moving forward?
Well, I think Jeff has got the ability to be able to fit in where you need him. He's got great versatility in his game. I think it would be wise of the Kings if they can get him playing on the wing. We all know that he's got that separation speed with the long stride that he has. And, you know, he's got a long stick, a long reach. He protects the puck well. He's got a great shot coming in and off the wing. And I think if the Kings can find him playing on the wing with a good puck moving centerman, I think he's going to add to his offense. He comes up with 17 goals this year, definitely shy of where he'd like to have been and what the Kings would like to see from him. But I still think he, with his shot and his skating ability, I still think he can play in the NHL. You know, you look at other players that have, you know, had, let's say, you know, the good legs or had a reputation of having good legs, but, you know, one that's still going, and that's Patrick Marleau. And he still finds a way to get the job done. So I think Jeff Carter, you know, he'll come back. He'll be refreshed. I think as the Kings look to their lineup and slot players where they're going to put them, I think he is definitely going to be a guy that's got to be in your mix, because when the opposition look upon him, he's good in the faceoff circle as well, plays in all the critical situations, power play, penalty kill. You know, he's got a wealth of experience and he knows how to win. So I think he's one of those guys that helps bridge the growth of some of these young guys coming in. But by all means, you know, he's not done. And I think he'll be rejuvenated as he comes in, because he'll be healthy and it'll be a fresh start for him and his teammates. I think they have a lot of positive things to build on as to the way that they finished the season on the winning streak that they were on.
Jeff Carter, 60 games, 17 goals last season. We mentioned Trevor Lewis got into 56 games with 6 goals and 12 points. Lewis, 33 years of age, so... Yeah, guys that have been around for a while, and a bounce back season by Jeff Carter, and if Kopitar and Brown continue the way we've seen them over the years, they're going to play prominent roles, certainly going forward. And Daryl, that kind of segs us into the next category here. Players that are up and coming that have obviously proved they can play at the NHL, and maybe on the wish list, you're hoping that they all keep improving, especially with their offensive numbers. We'll start first with Alex Iafallo, who completed his third year.
Walker out there with Iafallo and Kopitar. Walker will hand it off for Kopitar and get it back behind the Kings net. Kings moving left to right offensively. Ahead to Iafallo, right wing. Speeds into the zone, hands it off. Kopitar back to Iafallo, shot, score! Hat-trick goal to win it for Alex Iafallo. And the Kings come storming off the bench to congratulate the young left winger. A great setup, Kopitar to Alex Iafallo for the game winner in overtime, just 24 seconds in. Iafallo starts the scoring here tonight and wins it in overtime. A hat trick for Alex Iafallo. The Kings win it 3-2.
His numbers have gone up in all three seasons he's played. Career high 17 goals, 43 points this year, and played mostly on a line with Andre Kopitar. So if you're playing with a world-class player like Kopitar, you're going to get your share of points. You should get your share of points, but... What have you seen in Alex's development from year number one? Obviously, you can't substitute anything for experience. He now has 3 full seasons under his belt.
Without a doubt, he's got growth in his game. I think he's shown improvement. he's definitely taken advantage of a situation playing with a, you know, a superstar player in Anze Kopitar. But in saying that, not everybody can play with superstars. You know, you've got to be in the right spot at the right time. You've got to be dependable. You've got to be trustworthy, and you've got to do the right things. And both on and off the ice, Iafallo is that type of guy. And I think he earned his teammates, his line mates, you know, trust early on. You know, he had the knack of, you know, getting touches, you know, how he's had a stick on a puck in the offensive zone, breaking plays up in a defensive zone. He skates well enough to be able to get around the ice. I think he's improved a little bit upon his finish. Now, in saying that, if the Kings, as they look to improve and become a contender and eventually, you know, have the opportunity to win again, I'm not sure if he's on your top line. I think if he can find his way down one spot or two spots in your lineup, then you've got yourself a championship caliber team. In the meantime, he'll continue to make somebody take that job away from him. You know what you're going to get each and every night. His work ethic is incredible. You know, consummate team player, both on and off the ice, loved by all his teammates, which allows him, not to get any grief from everybody. You know, like a lot of people might say that he doesn't belong on that top line, but he continues to keep proving everybody wrong. But, there's no sign showing that he won't improve moving ahead. He's done it each and every year as he's gone through to this point. And that experience that, you know, you just mentioned, Nick, that'll pay dividends moving forward. And he kind of, like you say, he's in that middle bracket now where the young guys are going to come in. He's going to be that bridge guy between guys like Kopitar, Carter, Brown, and the young guys coming in. So he's going to be that guy that they're going to look to. And I think he's got the right demeanor and the right work ethic to provide, a really good teammate kind of approach towards it, and an example both on and off the ice, and carry it on when it does come game time, because he's showing that, you know, in the big games when he's out there, that he can play in the critical situations again. You know, he's not a big guy, but he'll still get the puck out of his own zone, and he's not afraid to go in and muck it up in the offensive zone to make something happen for his line mate. So his game continues to keep going in the right direction with the experience that he gains each and every night playing with superstar players.
Yeah, Alex Iafallo, a solid third season. Again, 17 goals and 43 points. Adrian Kempe, Darryl, kind of an enigma to a lot of us who have watched him play since he broke in a few years ago. Got into 69 games, had 11 goals and 32 points. Much better statistically in the second half compared to the first half. He had 35 total points, but two-thirds of his points came in the second half of the season. And here's a player that has played both wing and center, and we've talked about this really since he broke in on the broadcast. He almost seems like he's better suited as a wing than a center, and you have to wonder moving forward if the Kings feel the same way.
You know, that might be where he actually, you know, finds a spot. I think, you know, when he first comes into the Kings are looking for that position up the middle of the ice, because I think in the back of their mind, they would like to move Carter over to the side as well, and hoping maybe that Kempe, because of his speed, can give him that dynamic up the middle of the ice. But now as we look forward with the next wave of guys will be coming, you see like Velardes and Turcotte's and, you know, maybe Anderson, Dolan's and these type of guys. Those might be the guys that might fit better in the middle of the ice, allowing Kempe to be able to go to the outside. Kempe's got great speed. He's got NHL caliber speed without a doubt. He backs off a lot of defense. And I think the way that Todd utilized him this year, he became a big part on the Kings gaining entry into the opposing team's zone on the power play, just because of his ability to be able to pick the puck up deep in his own end, carry it the length of the ice and back the defense up. That was an element that the Kings hadn't seen. So I think he gained a lot of confidence from that. Still his numbers, because he does have good hands. He shoots the puck well. I think he's willing to go to the hard areas. I still think he's still trying to figure it all out as to exactly, you know, where his fit in is. And I think he's going to see that. It's probably going to evolve between this year and next season, that he'll find himself a spot, and I don't think there's going to be any turning back from it. The offense, I think, will show more. I think he, he'll score more goals. He'll continue to be a prominent part of the power play on one of the two units. He'll become a penalty kill guy as well because of the speed he can put up ice. That'll relieve guys like, you know, Carter, Kopitar, Brown, the veteran guys that are getting up there in the years, instead of having to do that each and every situation that they get in. He's one of those guys who can take that responsibility. He's becoming a more trustworthy player. Todd's only had him for 1 year to really be able to learn about him. And I think he was quite pleased with what he was able to pick up on him in the season that they had. So he's definitely part of the mix going forward. Great versatility in his game as well. And his skating ability is something that the Kings and every team in the NHL crave right now, is going to allow him to play in the NHL for a number of years, because he's figuring the rest of it out. And just a matter of time before the statistics support what he's doing on the ice.
Adrian Kempe, again, 69 games, 11 goals and 32 points last season. And other forwards that Daryl figured to be in the mix, kind of quickly recap the value you saw in them this past year. Martin Ferk, who was new to the organization this year. Austin Wagner completed his second year. Kings acquired Trevor Moore in the Clifford Campbell trade with Toronto. And Michael Amadio. In that group, is there anybody that kind of, you know, you're counting on for maybe bigger and better things moving forward?
Well, I think Martin Ferk is an interesting player. He brings an element, you know, that the Kings, you know, and every team would love to have on their team. Somebody that can shoot the puck the way he is, the way that he does, and not afraid to shoot it. And because he's not a kid, so to speak, 18, 19, 20 years of age, he's got enough confidence to be able to, you know, to be able to take those shots and not look to his teammates to feel that he made the wrong play. I think he's one of those guys that's a bridge player. You can use him, you know, on that power play. He can play on one of your two units. And his work ethic, I think, is what surprises a lot of people. He wants another shot to play in the NHL on a steady basis, and he wants to be an every night player. We saw him on a number of games that he played. He'd go in there and get involved in the corners, work on the back check coming back. So he's trying to round out his game. Those were maybe question marks that he had in the early part when he was trying to establish himself, in the NHL, when he was maybe, you know, with Detroit and things like that. But I think it may have taken him a little bit longer to learn that. But I look at him as a bridge player. Wagner is a player that I think he needs to, you know, get things figured out. I think I see him as, you know, again, continue to keep learning, become a penalty killer with his speed, to be able to get pressure on the other team on the forecheck, an energy type of line. And, you know, I think, you know, he even learned a little bit this year just to kind of slow things down. I think in his case, because he's such a high energy guy and he's got so much speed and power in those legs, I think less is more. And, you know, once he puts it all together, he's definitely got value on his team. Again, because of the skating ability, this is something that the Kings definitely have been looking for. He can provide that wherever he is, and he's got the versatility to play left and the right side. Matteo up the middle of the ice, he can go on the wing as well. He's going to be tested because, you know, the Kings have a number of guys on the shelf now that they've drafted here in the last couple of years that are going to push him. He's been given a pretty good opportunity. At times, he looks like he's taking that next step. And then there's other times that, you know, he'll pull back a little bit. He's got good vision on the ice. He distributes the puck well. But now it's going to become a night-to-night thing where he's going to have to compete each and every shift. And it's going to start in training camp because he's going to be challenged for these positions. So now these guys are going to have to work to keep their, you know, keep their job, you know, within the team because of the young guys that they have. And not only young guys, but you've got a lot of first, second round draft choices. So these are kids that the Kings have a lot of promise in. And it's just a matter of when they're going to be ready to come in and take those jobs.
You're listening to a recap of the 2019-2020 Kings season. Joined by Daryl Evans, I'm Nick Nixon. And Daryl, let's transition from the forwards to defense. We talked earlier on the right side, the Kings look pretty good with Doughty, Matt Roy, and Sean Walker. And now the question marks, not mark, but marks with the departure of some players in the last year or two. The left side, and I guess to me, number one is who's going to play with Drew Doughty? I mean, isn't that an issue the Kings have to deal with moving forward?
It is. And, you know, it's not a, not an easy position to put a person in. You know, even you go back to last year, we saw Bjornfoot come in. He's an 18-year-old kid that comes in. I think he showed that he can play in the NHL. I think he showed that he can play on a top pair. Is he ready to play on a top pair right now? Especially on a team that is, you know, trying to establish himself. That's probably not fair to him. He comes into the Kings at a time when, you know, you got a new coach coming in, you're transitioning where you're, the style you're trying to play, and he's trying to get used to playing, you know, hockey over here. So that was a tough spot for him. But Bjornfoot is a player, very trustworthy in his own zone. I think he's got the right mechanics, to be able to play with Drew in due time. I'm not sure if he's the guy that starts there. And in saying that too, Mikey Anderson, when we got a chance to look at him, the poise and the maturity that he played with, again, if he was, you know, a couple of years in playing in the NHL with experience, he's another guy that would fit in well with Drew. So, I think there's still going to be a little bit of a question mark there, as to, you know, who gets that position. You know, Drew's been a real trooper over the last few years at, you know, at developing guys and getting them into that position, having guys, you know, become NHL players. You know, look at how much time Derek Forsberg spent with them on that side. And, you know, that allowed him to be able to hang around the league and become a better player. So the Kings have, you know, a few young guys that they've got to look at back in the blue line. You know, we even saw from time to time, you know, McDermott even gets slotted in. We saw Walker go up there as well, you know, guys playing in there. I think guys like Hutton and Ryan, veteran players, I think, you know, there's always going to be a couple of guys like that around that the Kings can pick up for a year, to be able to use as bridge players. So we'll see how it all plays out. But I think as we go, before it's all said and done, I could see Anderson or Bjornfoot getting an opportunity to play with alongside Drew Doughty and having success playing with him because of the experience that Drew has and the space that he can buy for anybody that he plays with on the ice.
So that was the Kings on the blue line last season. Daryl had mentioned Ryan and Hutton, who were brought in to fill in some spots. Curtis McDermott got into 45 games and was re-signed to a new contract recently. He'll provide that physical presence, especially with the absence of Kyle Clifford. The goaltending, the big question, Daryl, and I think he answered a lot of questions. Cal Peterson, it appears like he's ready to be an NHL goaltender and get his share of games. Jonathan Quick, still the number one. He's got 3 years left. But Cal Peterson, boy, he came up, won his last four starts, went 5-3 and 8 starts overall. He's right on track, isn't he?
He is. And I like the fact that they haven't had to rush him in. And there is really no need to rush him in right now. I think, you know, the more tutelage that he can get playing behind Jonathan Quick, working with him day to day in practice, having the expertise of Bill Ranford as a goaltending coach, you know, continue to keep developing him. He's going to be, you know, he's going to be around for a long time. And I think that's what the Kings are looking for. They want him to be that guy in the years to come. So there is no time to rush him right now. You look at the way the goaltending, you know, played out this year. You know, at the beginning of the year, you know, Kings goaltending was, you know, was victimized by the turnover of transitioning into playing a more aggressive offensive style, and they exposed themselves defensively. And I think, you know, the trust, you know, the way they played in the defensive zone, the coverage, so many times we saw plays on the back door, and it probably happened more with Quick just because the system that the Kings played before, he had it down to a science, and he had so much trust in the veteran guys like Alec Martinez, you know, Matt Green, Willie Mitchells, Robin Regiers, all those veteran guys. He knew that he didn't have to look over his shoulder. That guy was covered. Well, we saw that in the early part of the year. Those guys were wide open. There was tap-in goals at the back, second and third opportunities. I give a lot of credit to Quick as the way that he battled and took tutelage from Bill Ranford and the adjustments that he had to make. And when you look at it at the end there, you know, his last, you know, handful of games, you know, he's battling with a, you know, goals against average of, you know, under 1.5. So that's the Jonathan Quick that, you know, I think the Kings can expect to see come back. He's got a lot left in the tank. Now, in saying that, especially with coming this upcoming season, I think it's going to be a compressed season. You know, whether they play all 82 games or not, I think there's not going to be as much rest time. So I think it's going to have to be a little bit more evenly shared in between the pipes. The way the game is played right now, without players being able to, you know, cover guys up and, you know, wrap their bodies around guys around the net, you see a lot more net play, a lot more lateral movement for the goaltender as well. We all know that Quick's explosive. He's got a lot of wear and tear on that body, but he's got as much compete as any goaltender in the league, and he'll be there. So I see Quick playing, you know, fewer games. I still think, you know, he holds the, you know, the title. He's the number one guy, and he's not going to surrender that. And it's a great opportunity for, you know, for Peterson to continue to keep doing what he's doing. He'll get more of a workload next year. And I think they split the goaltending, you know, a little bit more evenly. But I look at that tandem between the pipes, and I feel real good about that. I don't think the Kings have any weakness between the pipes with those two in the net going into next season.
All right, so we've covered forwards, defense, and goaltending and kind of analyzed last season individually. Darryl, we've talked about some of the young prospects that have played some NHL games. Mikey Anderson, who got some games in six at the end of last year, at the start of last season, Tobias Bjornfoot. But some of the other prospects, and I was making a list here. I've got nine players down here from the 17, 18, and 19 drafts that are definitely going to be looked at closely in the near future. The list includes up front Gabe Vilardi, Alex Turcotte, Kaliev, Fagimo, Jarrett Anderson Dolan, Akil Thomas, and Rasmus Kupari. And then at defense, we've talked about Bjornfoot and Mikey Anderson. So that's nine players from those three drafts. And the Kings in the upcoming draft this summer have, I believe it's six or seven picks in the first three rounds. So we're going to see a lot of great young talent in the coming coming weeks and months once we get playing hockey again. Let's start off with what we saw from Gabe Vilardi.
And at the Panthers line, controlled by Stillman. His pass broken up for Pesek, picked up, moving in the zone, shot, score! Gabriel Vilardi! His first NHL game, his first NHL shift, took the shot from the high slot. Gabriel Vilardi, what an opening act. The Kings, a minute 26 into the game, lead at 1-0, first NHL goal in his debut for the Kings' 2017 first-round pick, Gabriel Vilardi.
First-round pick a couple of years ago, battling injuries, but it looked like when he got into those 10 games at the end of the season with the Kings, he was really hitting his stride, and to me, it looked like he was getting better shift after shift and game after game.
Yeah, and I think you can expect that, you know, for a guy who has been limited to playing so little over the last few years and wanting to play so much, I think it's been a real frustrating time for him. So him just to see him come in and be around the rink in the mental frame of mind that he was in approaching the season was really, you know, it was something that everybody welcomed. He's got size. He's got that, you know, the ability to be able to move the puck, you know, distribute the puck and make the guys that on the ice that he's playing with better. You look at his responsibility in a faceoff circle. I know there's only a small sampling, but he took pride in what he did in the faceoff circle, and he was up around 55%. So he's got all those little elements, you know, not to compare him to Anje Kopitar or anything, but again, with the size, playmaking ability, puck protection ability, and his hockey sense, he's a guy that can fill the middle of the ice. You know, he's a big, powerful guy that'll give you possession of the puck off the faceoff. You know, he picks up 7 points in 10 games. He's a guy that can play on the power play. I think that's an area where he can thrive upon. So I like to see, I like what I've seen so far. And again, I know it's only a small sampling. I think the development team are going to have a great time working with him this offseason and preparing him for next year. And I remember even talking to him in the last few games there when he was up, and you know, he was already talking about it then on how much he's learned that he's going to take into the offseason and how he's going to apply it, the things that he's going to do and the areas that he needs to improve upon. So happy he was with the opportunity that he got. but not content. He wants to be a better player, and he expects to be a better player. And I think that's going to be the driving force that when he does come to training camp next year, he's going to look to be a prominent player and take on a leadership role for this team moving offensively.
We've been recapping this past Kings season. Nick Nixon, along with my partner on the radio broadcast for the last 20 years, Darrell Evans. Darrell, as we wrap things up here, areas to improve to get better. Obviously, we talked about the Kings' record. They did end the season on a high note, winning 7 in a row. We chronicled the offense. It was near the bottom. Offense has been an issue the past few seasons with the Kings, even when they were winning a couple of Stanley Cups. But having a player come in and score some goals, that really would give everybody the sense that, okay, things are starting to turn around, and some of these young players they drafted, this is why they were drafted high. If you're a forward, score some goals. So for me, it's waiting for that young forward to come in and really have an impact, a guy that can play on either the first or second power play and play on the first or second line.
Yeah, and you know, I think, again, going back, Velarde's a guy that I think can help contribute to that. He'll be a point guy, but more of a finish type of guy I agree with is Kaliev. You look at the numbers that he's put up, you know, in the Ontario Junior League there, and I think, you know, he's played 3 years there. It's time for him to, you know, to take a step, and because of the situation with regards to contract and that, I think we're going to get a look at him in the early part of the year. Whether or not he sticks it out, only time will tell, but he's a guy who's got size, and he's only 18 years old still. He's going to be 19 next week. But soft hands, pure goal scorer. You know, probably you look to the likes of Luke Robitaille over on the left side. This is, you know, that element that a guy like Kaliev will bring. But I think collectively as a group, the Kings, you know, everybody that they're bringing to the table, you know, via the draft are players that are going to contribute to offense. It's not going to be one superstar player. It's going to be guys to be able to support each other. Turcotte, a real smart, responsible player, great playmaker. He'll make guys better. He'll complement guys. Rasmus Kupari, even though he took the injury towards the end of the year, that might set him back a little bit as to the start of this season and being in a position that he's on the big team. But he's a player that's got skill and he's got speed. He's got, you know, he can finish and he complements guys and makes them better. So everybody that the Kings have looked to draft and that have in the system, and the 9 guys that you just mentioned right now, these are all top line prospects. These aren't guys that are, oh, well, maybe there's a chance here. You know, again, if all 9 start, you know, pan out, you know, you've hit the lottery a couple of times in a row. But if the Kings can hit a couple of home runs in the guys that they have there, and, you know, half those guys make their way into the lineup, the Kings have done a great job. Their scouts have done a great job. The development team has done an outstanding job. And the Kings will continue to keep, you know, drafting well and to support these guys. But I think, you know, the way the Kings are looking right now is the way they're changing with the systems that Todd is putting in place. It'll be a team that does it. You're going to have your guys that have their own little, elements of their game. Some guys are a little faster. Some guys score a little more. Curtis McDermott, you know, he's a tough guy. Each guy will bring a little something to the table. But they've also, I think, the common ground here and an ingredient amongst all these guys is there's a lot of winners and there's a lot of great team players. And I think as this young group comes together with so many young guys coming up at the same time, they're going to spend time in Ontario and then they'll make the step to the NHL, that there's going to be that brotherhood amongst them. And we're going to see them come up as a group. And then when they do come up, they're going to be that much more of a threat to be able to compete. So the next couple of years are real exciting here for the Kings. I think the Kings have got some great young players to look at. And again, not just because it's the Kings, but in watching these guys and looking at their statistics and the way they've competed on the international stage, they've got some real top end guys here to take a look at and hopefully will become the players the Kings expect them to become.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun watching down the road the next couple of years at some of how these young kids develop. You've been listening to a recap of the 2019-2020 Kings season. And for Darrell Evans, Nick Nixon saying, hope everybody stays healthy during the summer. And we look forward to seeing everybody back at Staples, hopefully sooner than later. Take care, everybody. We'll talk to you soon.